I know a lot of you have been very curious as to how my transition is going between kindergarten and high school. I'm here to report all is well. Although, the questions sometimes seem to be the same. Things like, what time is lunch? Can we go to the bathroom? And how much longer are we in this class? The other day, when we were in class, we were reviewing scripture and we came across today's gospel, and it created an awful lot of discussion. Discussions like whether Jesus added two commandments or if he just combined them and amended them. And we began talking about all sorts of laws. And then all at once the iPads came out and everybody started looking up laws and different kinds of laws and constitutional laws. They pointed out to me that in 1927 we codified the first book of law in the United States. And by 1980 there were over 50 volumes with 23,000 pages. As you can imagine, our research became very interesting, I guess is the best way to put it. We learned that it's illegal to throw snowballs in Idaho. And if you want to sell one baby chick at Easter and you color it, you dye it a certain color, well, that's illegal in Kentucky, unless you sell six. We found that there are 613 laws in the Old Testament. There were 1,752 canon laws, and there were 2,865 paragraphs in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. This all started careening off track, so I had to try and pull everybody back together. And I said, listen, Shema, you're missing the point. And they said, Shewa? And I said, no, Shema, listen. And that's our point today as well. It's the essence of a solid relationship. The first part of Jesus' answer restates the commandments. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is known as the Shema. It's a first reading today from Deuteronomy. And faithful Jews had memorized this, so much so that they've tied it around their wrists, on their foreheads, and attached it to the doorposts in their house. It's very important to them. And here's why. If you look at the very first word of what Jesus talks about, he says, hear, listen, obey. It's all the same in the Hebrew Bible. Shema can mean a multitude of things that all apply to this verse. Hear, listen, attention, focus on, respond, act. Listen closely, Shema, Shema. Obey, respect. Do what you're being told. Now, with this new understanding, we can Shema this passage a little differently. This one verse, the first part of the verse, Jesus covers the first seven commandments. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is Lord alone. There is no other God. No other thing is more important than your relationship with your one true God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. You shall not lift up his name in vain. Observe the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. With all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. Do we recognize or see with our soul and our mind the beauty of creation in all of these things? Do we notice the beauty of creation and the colors that are put there only for us to see? And do we use all of our strength to keep our vows? As one of my students put it, we're called to love and we're called to do things that are done with our heart, that show what our soul looks like to others. Do all things, even the smallest of actions, for God, keeping God in mind, with all of our strength, focusing our energies and abilities on pleasing God and attempting to keep God's plan for our lives, not focusing on our own internal desires. Shema, listen and obey. We Catholics have our own Shema, and claims about God. Directly after this homily, in our profession of faith, we acclaim it in the very first line when we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. This is our Shema. Well, then this leads to the pink elephant in the universe, perhaps the most difficult part, because particularly it's about somebody that's right in front of us. Jesus says, the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Or you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, the last three commandments. Most people I spoke with find this the hardest commandment, love your neighbor. Odd that we find this being the most troublesome, loving what's right in front of us, something that is tangible, that we can see and touch, created by our Creator, and yet we struggle. I pointed out to the students that our neighbor is more than that person that lives next door. Our neighbors are the people that were gunned down at Kroger. Our neighbors are the people that were gunned down at the temple in Pittsburgh, in our city and in our country. They are also people at the borders trying to get in, seeking a better life. Perhaps we struggle for two reasons. Because of what we don't know and because of how we see people. On one hand, it's easy to fear what we do not know. And the only way to get around that, which is very straightforward, is do we really know our neighbor? I personally do not. I am guilty of truly not knowing or wanting to know my neighbor. I've tried. I just haven't been able to get through to her. Maybe that's my fault. I've just accepted her as she is. My work to continue our relationship and try and mend the fences. But there always has to be some effort. There always has to be an open door to a better, kinder way to see people as people. Which gets me to the other hand. And the thought of how do we really see people? It's been my experience in my life through corporate America and teaching and all that I've been through that I see sometimes in my experiences that we see people not as people, but as objects. We see people as numbers, we see them as units, we see them as news, we see them as caravans, labels, threats and violence, but not as people. We see children as becoming part of a process in a shooter drill in school, not children. We're subjected to stories, but do we know our neighbors? That they're a mother, a father, an aunt, an uncle, grandparents, a son, a daughter. Very soon this viewpoint becomes complacency. It will become more the norm, and the news will stop reporting on it, just like they stopped reporting on good news, because it's the new normal. But I challenge you to fight it, to look at the numbers and labels differently, to see the person. I'm reading in the face of all this a book by the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu called The Book of Joy, Happiness, Lasting Happiness. I think by using one of the Dalai Lama's quotes I can summarize this issue that we face. The Dalai Lama said, people were created to be loved, and things were created to be used. The reason that the world is in such chaos is that things are being loved and people are being used. Shema.